Every week as we gather, we like to turn our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have just sung of his grace, his glory, his death on the cross on behalf of sinners, his resurrection and his power for those who believe. What a remarkable thing to come together to join our voices and sing his praise. We're going to take the next few moments to meditate on, to reflect on, to think on the benefits of his death in the place of his own. To do that this morning, I'd love for you to turn your attention to Philippians chapter 3. I want us to see this morning, I want to remember this morning what Jesus has made of us who believe. What we have become. And this is different than how we were born. We were born enemies of God. In darkness, not understanding, not loving. But God has done something radical for us who believe in Jesus Christ. Here in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 20, Paul describes our new status in him. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Friends, you are citizens of a place you've never yet been. That's the reality. It is your new identity in Christ to hold a citizenship of a land you've never yet seen, never visited, but are promised with full rights of citizens. You and I are naturally outsiders to such a place, and we've been brought in as inheritors, possessors of heaven. And this is not a universal reality for humanity. There's a contrast in this passage to those who are not citizens. Paul describes them beginning in verse 18. Many walk, of whom I've often told you, and now I tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And here he describes believers. And I think in this context, he's describing believers or unbelievers who happen to be in the church at Philippi. He says their end is destruction, their God is their appetite, their glory is in their shame, they set their minds on earthly things. You see, the unbeliever, whether he's a cultural Christian doing religious things or whether he doesn't care about Christian things at all, the unbeliever is temporally minded. In other words, life is on this earth. Citizenship is here. I belong here. This is where my treasure is. This is where my appetite is. This is my God. But the Christian is different. Our citizenship is in heaven. And the Philippian believers would have understood what Paul meant by citizenship. Philippi was a colony of the Roman Empire. It was established by Roman soldiers. They were given special status as citizens of the city of Rome. And the people in Philippi owned a privileged status. And even though many of the citizens of Philippi had never been to Rome, they imbibed the culture of Rome, the values of Rome, and the prestige of Rome. In fact, they made Philippi a little Rome. You and I, as believers, we have never yet been to heaven. And yet, the Lord of heaven is our Lord. His values are our values. He has given us a new name and a new identity. We belong to him. What an amazing privilege. How does this come to be? Our Savior, the one for whom we eagerly wait. He's the one who rescued us from citizenship to the world. A citizenship that ends in destruction, according to verse 19. You and I have been rescued. We've been rescued from the path that we were on, the path that we loved, the path that we were born into. And we've been transferred by God's grace through the death of his own son in our place, where Jesus paid for every last sin of everyone who would ever believe to make them fit for heaven. What an unspeakable privilege. And it's not just that we get to be citizens of heaven, but we get to be fundamentally remade. The promise there is that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes, we eagerly anticipate his return. Why? Because he will transform our humble body, the body of our humble state, into conformity with the glory of his resurrection body. That is something to look forward to. What kind of power will it take to accomplish such a feat? What kind of power does Jesus have to fundamentally transform us in that way, fit for glory? The kind of power that Jesus has to subject all things to himself. What kind of power do you think it takes to get Satan to bow the knee to Jesus? What kind of power do you think it takes to get the world's authorities, the powerful, the enemies of God, to bow the knee and confess with their tongues that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father? What kind of power does it take to get all of the universe to agree that Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord? That's the kind of power that Jesus has to transform us into what is fitting for a residence permanently in God's glorious presence. I want us to think this morning about Jesus and what he has done, and I want us to think this morning about ourselves. Maybe you're here this morning and going to church is just something you feel like you should do. I want you to know what an unbelievable privilege you have to hear this gracious invitation from God while you still have breath to believe. To believe in Jesus, to believe in his death and his death alone, to actually pay for all the crimes you've ever committed against heaven, and then to make you a citizen of heaven, a place you don't belong, and a place God is willing to bring you in, to magnify his own love for people like us, and for your infinite, ever-increasing delight in his presence. If you're here this morning and you're entertaining belief in Jesus, let me just encourage you. Believe. Turn away from everything you've made of yourself and turn to God, who has the power to subject all of his enemies to himself, that kind of power to change you forever. Let me invite you this morning to possess eternal life by placing your faith in Jesus Christ and surrendering to him as Lord. For those of you this morning who are here who know Jesus, who love Jesus, let me just remind us, our citizenship is in heaven. We've been purchased for another realm, and we are not yet what we will be. We are not yet home. This isn't home. And I know it's easy to get distracted by temporal things. Would you take the next few moments to consider your citizenship, consider your King, remember his death in your place. Examine your heart. God, have I been tangled up with temporal mindedness? Have I been distracted from my role as ambassador of my King and a citizen of my home? Whatever's in your heart that you need to confess to the Lord, confess. Agree with him and enjoy this morning the forgiveness purchased for you at the cross. We'll take a piece of bread and a cup of juice as a reminder of Jesus' broken body and spilled blood, which paid for our sins. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, let me encourage you, don't take the bread, don't take the juice. That is exclusively for believers in Jesus Christ, to remember what he has done on our behalf. But we would love for you to know Jesus and to have eternal life. Be sure that you talk to somebody today about how you can have eternal life and how you can know him. The men are going to come forward. Take the few moments of silence to examine your heart. Confess your sins before the Lord. Revel in the forgiveness purchased for you at the cross by Jesus. And when you're done, take the elements and remember him.